All right. If I walk out of here with one amen today, I'm happy. Take your Bible, turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. We are still looking at the Beatitudes. The children may be dismissed at this time to Children's Church. And as they're going, you can be turning to Matthew chapter 5. I know some of you are looking at the bulletin, you're wondering, what about that last song? Don't worry, we'll get to sing it. We've got a full morning this morning. It's a good morning. The Lord is gracious and good to us. Take your Bible, like I said, turn to Matthew 5. If you would stand with me in honor of God's Word. We'll begin in verse 3. Jesus is up on the mountain. He's teaching his disciples. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you once more for your word. We thank you that you have spoken. You've not left us in silence. You've called us to yourself. You came. You gave us your word. Lord, I pray this morning that you would take your word, that by your Holy Spirit you would quicken it to our hearts, that it would bring forth fruit, even as you promised. It would accomplish the purpose for which you sent it. Lord, I pray this morning that you would also anoint and empower me by your Holy Spirit to preach what you want preached, and that you would give us ears to hear, and that you would draw near to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Blessed, Jesus says, happy are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Jesus is saying this after, as we've looked at the several previous Beatitudes, but he's giving a requirement here. He's saying that those who are pure in heart, those whose hearts have been cleansed, those whose hearts are not mixed with impurity, have a great joy that is not only awaiting them, but it is also a joy that they get a foretaste of even right now. They will see God in the future, but there's a sense in which they will be able to know God and see him at work even in the present. Blessed, happy, he says, are those that are pure. When we read that, and we read it in the context of the other Beatitudes, we begin to realize that there is a process that has taken place through these Beatitudes. There's a process, and the intent of what Jesus is saying is to draw people's understanding first to their need for him, their need to be cleansed, their need for a righteousness that exists outside themselves, a righteousness that they do not possess in and of themselves, but that is available and will be granted to them, will be given to them by faith. He says previously that those who have mourned, those who have first of all been have come humbly, come to that place of brokenness, to an understanding of their own need, their understanding of their own bankruptcy before God, and then have mourned over their sin, that is to repent, have come to a place of meekness, that is to turn to Christ, to be submitted to him, have hungered and thirsted for a righteousness that is not their own, they will be filled. Then they'll receive mercy. And then there's this promise. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Well, what does it mean to be pure? Well, you understand this mostly by things around us. If we say something is pure gold, that means that it's unmixed. It doesn't have any impurity mixed in with it. And the way that that process takes place is often a refining process that it must go through in order for all the dross, the impurities, to be taken out of that pure, that gold, that sample of ore, and that it may be cleansed and melted down, and it goes through the fire. And finally, after a repeated process, it's purified. The same thing we see in some of you ladies have in your cabinet, I know, vanilla. And there's two different types of vanilla, right? And you can taste the difference, can't you, when you're baking? Some of you can. You've got the imitation vanilla, right? And then you've got the real thing, the 100% pure vanilla. And when somebody uses 100% pure vanilla, there's a difference in that cookie. There's a difference in that homemade ice cream. There's a difference that is noticeable to the palate because it is pure. It's not imitation. That's one meaning of purity. The other meaning of purity in this sense is a meaning of having been cleansed, and it's very much related. It's a meaning of being washed. It's like taking a garment and washing it and cleaning it. And sometimes, if for Starla, that can take a long time for some of my clothes. I'm reminded of this when a few weeks ago, or I guess it's been a couple of months ago, my two youngest boys were sitting at the table. I think they'd had a chocolate muffin or something to eat. And they're not the cleanest of eaters. I'll just put it that way. But there was chocolate all over both of their mouths. And Micah looked over to Isaiah, and he says, "Isaiah, you need to clean your mouth." And he had more chocolate. I think he had more muffin on the outside than he had on the inside. And he went to get him a rag, and his grimy hands that had muffin all over them, chocolate smeared all over, he gives that, and Isaiah wiped it real quick, and it just smeared it everywhere, right? You see, both of them were in the same predicament. They both were a mess, and they were trying to clean each other up. They were noticing, first of all, the sin in somebody else's life, the muffin on somebody else's face. And they're trying to clean the other one up, but all they're doing is smearing it around, right? They were so messy, they really needed a bath. They needed to be cleansed completely and washed so that they could be made new and whole again on the outside. Blessed are the pure in heart, those that have been cleansed, those that have been washed, Jesus says. What he's talking about is somebody that is unsoiled, not mixed with impurity, not two-faced, hypocritical, somebody that's been washed from their sin. Psalm 24, verses 3 through 4 say this, the question that rings throughout Scripture, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? That's the question that's been going on ever since the Garden of Eden. Ever since man fell and they were cast out of the garden, out of the place where they met with God and they enjoyed the rich fellowship that came only in that sanctified holy place before sin entered the world. And they're now banished from that garden, and there's an angel there with a flaming sword that's keeping the way to the garden, and they can't enter back in. There's a question that rings out. Who can go up to the hill of the Lord? Who can enter into His presence again? And the psalm writer says, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? And the answer is given. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, does not swear deceitfully. You see, this really gets at it. He really gets at the same thing that Jesus is getting at. He says, he who has clean hands, that's the outside, but it's not just the outside that's the problem. No, the real problem is what? The heart. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. He's talking about the inward man. He's talking about who we are at the core of our being. He's talking about who we are in the very essence of our personality. we need purity there. You see, when Jesus was beginning his ministry, he was talking to people, and they were under the teaching of the religious leaders of that day, who took great care to preach about purity in many ways, but it is all an external purity. They were making sure they were keeping every little jot of man's law, but the problem was there was no change in their heart. And so their heart, because it was darkened with sin, perverted even the word of God. It allowed them to escape. It allowed them to say, oh, I'm really good because look at the things that I've done. But they never dealt with the issue of the heart. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. That's why Jesus said of the religious leaders of the day that they were like whitewashed tombs. They looked good on the outside, but that they were dead on the inside. Who can ascend to the hill of the Lord? There was only one person that could ascend the hill of the Lord. There's only one person who has clean hands and a pure heart, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Only he could go up to the hill of the Lord and make perfect sacrifice for us, but then he in his mercy offers us the same cleansing, the same purity that he has. He never needed to be cleansed from sin. He was completely pure, unmixed with any impurity, unmixed with, untainted by any sin. But because he's completely pure and clean, he can offer to us his purity. He can wash us and make us new. And that is what takes place in salvation. So I want to give you 4 points real quick. They're going to be very quick, I promise, this morning. From this text. First of all, a pure heart is required to see God. Even in the Old Testament, we're told that no one could see God face to face lest he die. Even the most meek man, the most humble man that walked on the face of the earth in the Old Testament, Moses, God told him, Moses, you can't see my face. You'll die. But I'll let you see the backside of my glory. A pure heart is required to see God face to face. Well, that presents a problem for you and me, doesn't it? Because none of us are clean hands and a pure heart. We can't cleanse ourselves. We can't make ourselves clean. We can't wipe the chocolate cake off of our own face with a dirty rag. Sin cannot clean up sin. That's our problem. But that's God's requirement because he is pure. So we see that God is more concerned with the heart than with external self-righteousness. He is most concerned with who we are at the depths of our being, who we are at our core. And that is what must be cleansed. That is what must change. A pure heart is what is required to see God. Secondly, a pure heart only comes by being regenerated by the Spirit of God. A pure heart only comes by being regenerated by the Spirit of God. He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What we need, as I've said before, is cleansing at the core of our being. And this is only accomplished by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the regeneration that takes place through the Holy Spirit. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says that he saved us. That is, the Lord Jesus saved us, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his own mercy, catch this, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. When he says regeneration, what he means is to be born again, to be made completely new, to become a totally different person in the core of who we are. This only takes place by the supernatural power of God at work in your life and in mine. It only takes place as we come to faith in Christ. He changes us at the very essence of who we are. He makes us new in him. Praise God. We're made new, or new creatures in Christ. Now, what takes place, or what happens as a benefit of that? We suddenly have confidence before God. We can approach God. We can come into God's presence confidently, not because of who we are or what we've done, but because of who Christ is and what He's done. A pure heart gives us confidence before God because of Christ's finished work. Hebrews 10, verse 22 says this, "Let us draw near." It's an invitation, folks. It's an invitation to come into God's presence. Do you want to see God? He made you. He created you. He's all glorious. He made you for Himself. He knows you better than anybody. Do you want to see God? There's an invitation here. The writer of Hebrews says, let's draw near. Let's come near to God. How are we able to do that? With a true heart, full of assurance of faith. Why? Because our hearts are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. What he's talking about, what he's referring to, is it's a picture from the Old Testament when the priest would take the sacrificial lamb and he would dip hyssop, he'd dip a branch in the blood that was in a bowl from that lamb, and he would sprinkle it over the people, and they would be proclaimed sanctified. What the writer of Hebrews is saying is that's a picture of what's taken place, that what was to take place when Christ died for you. His blood was sprinkled, His blood was applied to you. And unlike the blood of bulls and goats that couldn't permanently clean, Christ's blood is perfectly pure. It's unblemished. He's never known sin. He's never known any corruption. He's faced it, but He overcame temptation. He conquered temptation. He went to the cross. He shed His blood, and guess what? His blood has been sprinkled upon you, and that has made you clean. His blood has been given for you, having our conscience cleansed, sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. You remember, upon the cross, after Jesus breathed His last, He said right before that, "It is finished." And then He breathed His last, and He gave up His spirit and died. And the soldiers went. And John records this. The soldiers went to Pilate. Well, first some came to them saying, "Can we take them off the cross?" And because tomorrow's the Sabbath. And they said, the Pharisees did that. They went to Pilate and they said, he was surprised. He says, "He's dead already." And they went and they checked. And he said, "Yeah, okay." Well, he sends the soldiers to take him down. Well, the soldier, when he was checking, you remember what he does? He comes to the thief on one side and he breaks his legs. Goes to the thief on the other side, he breaks his legs. They weren't dead yet. He gets to Christ and he recognizes he's already dead, but just to check, he'd already died. He takes his spear and he thrusts it in his side. And John records this. He says, "And blood and water flowed out." Oh, that was a sure sign of death. And you can talk to scientists and you can understand that, you can talk to medical doctors that was a sign of perhaps a ruptured heart. Maybe that was how he died, and people can talk about that, and that's wonderful. But I think you come to a verse like, put Hebrews back up, I'm sorry. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience with His blood and our bodies washed with pure water. Blood and water flowed from the Savior's side. There is no purer blood than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is through Him that we've been washed and sanctified and made new. And so, there is a confidence that we have before the Lord, not because of who we are, but because of who He is. So, a pure heart's required to see God. A pure heart is only given by the regeneration by the Spirit of God. But then, brother and sister in Christ, you know that you've been saved and you're walking along in this life and you realize, I still struggle. Anybody here still struggle? I got two hands up. Anybody here still struggle through life? Oh, we know that we're saved by the Lord. We're sanctified by the Lord. It's all of His work. And yet we still face that old pull of that old man. We know that the Scripture says we've been made new, and yet sometimes we still face the pull of the old man, the flesh. What about that? Well, a pure heart is renewed by the Word of God. There is an ongoing work that God is doing in your heart and life right now. He saved you. He sealed you by the Holy Spirit, but now He's in the process. He's already begun it. He's sanctifying it. He will complete you. He's making you new. He's making you into the man or the woman that He's called you to be. But that sanctifying work, what God uses in this life to help accomplish that, is His Word. Jesus said that we are cleansed, we're purified, we've been made clean because of His Word, because of the Word that He's spoken. In John 15, verse 3, He's talking to His disciples. He's saying, "Abide in Me, and let My words abide in you." He says, "Now you're clean through the Word that I've spoken to you." His Word has a cleansing power. We're washed by His Word. We're renewed by His Word. Romans 12 says that we're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That takes place by allowing His Word. You ever seen a stream flowing, and it can have boulders in its path? And you let that stream flow for a long time, and what happens? It slowly washes away all the impurity from those rocks, all the rough edges, until it makes it perfectly smooth. We're experiencing this right now. You know, we're kind of doing some work on the house that the Lord's allowed us to buy, and Starla this last week was scrubbing on the fireplace. It's a rock fireplace, has soot on it, and when we bought it, the dear lady and her husband that built it, they apparently liked the moss that's on the rock. And we noticed that there was still dirt on the rock. I think they put it up. They just took it out of the woods and they put it up. We'd like it a little more clean. But you know what we've noticed? We scrub and we scrub, or she scrubs. I found something else to do. She scrubs and she scrubs. And the more she scrubs, she gets the moss off, but then there's still dirt. And we said, you know what this really needs? These rocks need to be pulled off and taken out under a power washer and washed until all the dirt and the grime and the soot is washed away from them. Folks, that's what God's Word does for you and me. It's like a power washer that as we submit ourselves to the Word of God, over time it filters out all the dirt and the gunk from our lives. And it conforms us into the image of Christ. That's the sanctifying process that He's already begun in your heart that He will complete. A pure heart's renewed by the Word of God. In John 13, verse 10, Jesus, before going to the cross at the Lord's Supper, the last day, He's there and He's ministering to His disciples, and He gets down and begins to wash their feet. He is a servant washing their feet, the grime, the dust of life off of their... He's taking their sandals. Can you picture Him there? He's bending down before each one. He takes a towel and he picks one each one up. He gets to Peter and Peter says, I'm sure he's been rallying up with emotion thinking, He's the Lord. Why should He be like the lowest of servants and washing my feet? And Peter says, Lord, not... You shouldn't be washing me. Jesus says, Peter, if I don't wash you, I don't have any part with you. And when Peter says, or you don't have any part with me, rather, and Peter says, well, look, then Lord, not my feet only, wash all of me, right? And here's what Jesus says. He says, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. He's talking about Judas. But he was telling Peter this. What he was telling Peter is, listen, I've already cleansed you. But you picked up the dirt from this life in your sandals. You've already had a bath, Peter. All you need is the dirt washed off your feet. Folks, if you've come to Christ, you've been regenerated on the inside. You've been made pure on the inside. You're clean in God's sight. But you go through this life and you stumble and you fall, and some people will start to say, well, have I fallen away from Christ? No, all you need is simply to come to Him and allow His Word to just wash off that sin. You're already covered by the blood of Christ. You've already been made new. You just need to be restored and back in fellowship again. You get the picture there? The Word of God in our daily walk cleanses us and accomplishes, the Holy Spirit accomplishes and finishes the work that He started in you. A pure heart's renewed by the Word of God. Finally, back in Matthew chapter 5, a pure heart is rewarded. A pure heart is rewarded by the delight of the presence of God. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, to have a pure heart means that we have an undivided love which regards God as our highest good and which is concerned primarily with loving Him, with loving God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. They'll be rewarded with God's presence. Blessed are those that have been cleansed, that have been made new. They now have the reward of joy, fellowship with God. Here's what that means. One day we will see Him. The Scripture says we do not know yet what we shall be, but we know that when He appears, we'll become like Him because we'll see Him face to face. One day we look forward to seeing our Lord face to face, to being complete and whole in His presence. Amen? What a glorious day that's going to be. But here in this daily life, we get a little foretaste of that. We get to see God at work. Only the believer, only the one who says, God is my highest good, the one who has come to realize what God has done for them in salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ and has said, God has given me so much in Christ that He is the best. He is my highest goal. Knowing Him and knowing more of Him is my greatest desire. A person that's come to that place, that's been purified of the other things that tend to distract us in life, that says, I want to know more of You, Lord, because of what You've done for me, they'll begin to see God at work. Jesus said, my Father's working already, and I work. The Lord's working all around us. But as we begin to say that God is our highest priority, God, because of what He's done for us, He's our highest goal, He's our aim, we'll begin to see God working in ways in our life, but maybe not so much that, primarily in the lives of those around us. We'll begin to see life in a different way. We'll look at a sunset, and it won't be just merely colors across the sky, but it'll be the vibrancy of the glory of the creative power of the One who saved us and redeemed us and formed us with His Word. As you begin to have a heart that yearns for God, you'll see Him at work in the world around you, and you'll glorify Him all the more. Blessed, Jesus says, are the pure in heart. Happy. They rejoice. This is what Jesus said right before going to the cross, again in John 17, verse 24. He, praying to the Father, He said, Father, I desire that they also, whom You have given Me, may be with Me where I am, that they may see My glory that You have given Me, because You loved Me before the foundation of the world. The driving thought right before Christ went to the cross, right before He was going there to accomplish your redemption, He was looking past the cross And he was saying, Lord, what I really want is for all these that I'm about to die for to be with me, that they may see my glory. Do you desire to see the Savior's glory? Do you desire to see him face to face? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How are you made pure? You're made pure by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who sanctifies and cleanses you. The regenerating of the Holy Spirit. He makes you, gives you new life. And then the cleansing power of the Word of God in this daily life. As the cares and troubles of this life are washed away and brought to light in the glory of God and who he is. Do you desire to see God? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Would you stand with me this morning? We get a reminder of all this morning. We get a double dose of it. We're going to have two baptisms. Praise the Lord. Where we're reminded of what the Lord has done for us in washing us from who we were and making us completely new in him. The old man's passed away. All things have become new. And he, by the power of his Holy Spirit, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, is keeping us till that day that he someday appears and making us day by day more like him. Amen. Now listen, maybe you're here this morning and you have not accepted Christ as Savior. You say, yes, I realize I want to see God, but I can't see him because of my sin. I'm like that little child that's trying to wipe off of his face with a dirty napkin all the grime, and it doesn't work. But you need to be washed through the blood of the Lamb. You need to have salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. That takes place by simply saying, Lord, I understand I'm a sinner. I need salvation. And it is only through Christ that I can be saved. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Would you forgive me and be my Lord and Savior? And what the Lord will do is he'll take up residence in your heart. He'll cleanse your heart. He'll make you new on the inside. If that's you this morning, I'd invite you to make that decision. Becky's going to play. And if you need to make that decision in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to slip out from where you're at and come forward and make that known. Brother Scott, you want to come up right now too? Hey, Sharon, I think he wants her up here. Brother Scott's getting a chance to baptize his granddaughter. I'm going to let him, I'm going to let him say a few words this morning about that. You're going to get a picture through this. If you've not made this decision, you're going to get a picture of what this is all about.